Chapter 16, Opportunity, Iteration, Scaling, and Management. As you develop your product, or as you develop your marketing, or even as you develop yourself or your relationships, it's useful to keep in mind that we live in a world of iteration. Software is typically released in versions, with small steps being light upgrades, and major steps involving new interfaces and core functionality. These are iterations. Cars are often released in yearly upgraded models, and every several years there will be a major redesign. Each new model is an iteration of the previous model, building on top of what was learned in all previous iterations. If you look at how life works, you see that living entities are born from a reproductive process involving parents of some kind, and that the children or offspring of life forms are latest versions or new models of their parents. You are the latest iteration of your line of the human lineage after your parents, who were the previous latest models in your family. If you zoom out and look at the evolutionary steps that are taken in the development of everything from printing presses to telephones to typewriters to computers to fish to birds to apes, you'll see an iterative process. Between each of the evolutionary steps was a huge amount of experimentation and iteration, keeping those adaptations and changes that conveyed advantage to the original design. When you find or create an opportunity, it's important to remember that the first version of your way of taking advantage of the opportunity is just that, the first version. If you design a product because you see a need for it, remember that it is just a starting point and that you will build new versions of it over time as you get feedback and learn more about what your customers want and what they are willing and excited to pay for. The quality movement emphasized the Japanese concept of Kaizen, which is the Japanese word for improvement. The mindset is to continually improve all aspects of your business, from your products to your people to your processes. This is a mindset that understands iteration. Go for version 3.0. If you are creating your product, service, or even marketing, the key is to get it into the world and being used as soon as possible, knowing that it will require development and iteration. Most new entrepreneurs make the mistake of trying to design something that's perfect before letting anyone see it and try it out. This is a mistake that costs an unimaginable amount of wasted time and money. The first version of your product or service should be created as quickly as possible and then tested out with real people. That's the rule of thumb. In Silicon Valley, they call it minimum viable product. I call it version 1.0 of your product. The mindset is to go for version 3.0 and get there as fast as you can. The first version is going to be rough. It's going to include just the key elements and deliver just the most important results. Once you release it, you'll start getting feedback from customers, from sales experiences, and from many other channels. This feedback will tell you where to go for version 2.0. When you create version 2.0, you get a chance to create something much better than the first version. 2.0 is the first real version. You created your first version in order to get something into the hands of real people quickly and validate that people would buy it from you. When you create version 2.0, you're making something more substantial that's a model for a sustainable long-term design. After iterating once and then getting more feedback from customers and from your market, and after validating that you really have something that customers need and want, it's time to go for version 3.0. Now you can make something great. You will have enough sales coming in to give you the confidence to go long, and you will be knowledgeable enough about the needs of your customers to design something uniquely valuable, something that you can base a business on. About 9 months after releasing my book, Double Your Dating, I decided to do my first live seminar. We had 23 people who paid to attend. I borrowed a video camera and had someone stand in the back and video record the entire 3-day event. It was just one camera, but it worked. It was my first time teaching dating, and my format was simple. I would put up a slide that had about 8 or 10 tiny sentences printed on it, and I would read each of them from my computer screen. Then I would look at the audience and make comments, then put up another slide with tiny print on it, read it all, and then make a few comments. Honestly, it was not very good, and the video was just okay as well. But it was version 1.0, and what was important was that we did it, and we got it out. Once I could see that people wanted to buy this product, then I went to work making it better. I started teaching the same program in different cities. I taught that program maybe 4 or 5 more times over the next couple of years, tuning it up and eliminating some of the more boring aspects of it. I also created other live programs and figured out how to make the stage and the lighting look better. This was me working on version 2.0. As I taught the material and saw how much men were learning, it became more obvious that this program was a hit. Finally, after I had everything worked out, I did another completely new video recording of the event. I planned out every aspect of the program and invited amazing live guest speakers. We had better lighting and better cameras, 2 of them this time. I created a new video and audio version of the program that really looked great. I had proven to myself that people wanted to come to the event and that they would pay for it by doing it once initially, then doing a series of live events in different cities that worked as well. When I finally did version 3.0, I was making something for the long term. And now, over 10 years later, we still have people buy that program regularly. As a side note, I want to mention that many of the programs I've released never got past version 1.0. I would make a new course, teach it for the first time, and then release it as a product and have it succeed. I have gotten busy enough with various types of projects, with my family and whatever else in my life, that I never had time to go back and make version 2.0 and version 3.0. If I would have been too much of a perfectionist and not just made something good enough, then I likely wouldn't have gotten anything done, ever. Scaling and management. Once you find an opportunity that passes through these previous levels, that has proven itself to have high long-term potential, then it's time to put effort into actually building a business around it. It's time to scale the opportunity up and turn it into an enterprise. I have had the privilege of building several successful businesses now and of advising and investing in many others. There is a pattern to success in business that almost no one knows about before experiencing it themselves. In fact, it's not only a pattern of success, but it's also a key reason for long-term failure in business. The reason has to do with the skill of successfully managing the growth of the business itself. You can be in the right industry, and you can have a great product or service idea, and you can even have sales coming in and money in the bank. But if you don't learn the skill of managing a team of people and the different parts of a business, it can all collapse. The dot-com boom in the late 1990s proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it takes more than just money and a product idea to succeed in business. Many companies had great ideas for products, great teams, and lots of money in the bank, but they still failed because they didn't know how to run a business. In this section, I'm going to share a set of tools and tips that I've picked up along the way for building a successful and profitable business. Remember, as you learn and implement these ideas, that they are part of a larger skill set. They all fit together as part of a bigger puzzle. When you learn to use them together, along with other skills that you'll learn along the way, you are becoming a real entrepreneur. Don't underestimate the power of these tools, models, and systems. You need them if you're going to succeed in the long run. Follow your winners. If you put everything that we've learned so far together into one bigger picture, you'll start to realize that the story of an opportunity that turned into a bigger success is the story of the intersection of both skill and luck. It's the combination of finding the right opportunity and also nurturing it through a series of progressive growth stages all the way to success. Tony Hsieh started a company in the 1990s called Link Exchange that helped companies advertise their websites online. He eventually sold the company to Microsoft. He then took the capital he had raised from the sale and started an investment fund and incubator called Venture Frogs, which invested in startup companies. One of the companies they invested in was a site that sold shoes online that called itself Zappos. A couple of months later, he joined the company as CEO, having recognized it as being a particularly good opportunity. As CEO, he grew the company to over $1 billion in sales and then sold it to Amazon.com. Rumors are that his Amazon stock has likely made him a billionaire. If you would have called Tony up early in his career and asked him what he believed that his big success was going to be, it's pretty unlikely that he would have answered selling shoes online. But by following a string of interesting opportunities, he was able to navigate his way to massive success. Too often, entrepreneurs aren't watching and following their successes. instead choosing to try to make something work that just isn't working. I've watched many friends and students who get their mind set on one particular idea, then waste huge amounts of time and money trying to figure out how to get customers to buy from them, rather than scaling up the things that people want to buy from them. Often, it's a small part of what they're doing that reveals a more narrow path to success. It can even be a small part of what the company you're working for is doing, by the way. I have heard so many interesting stories of people who worked for a company and saw a big opportunity that their employer didn't want to pursue that became a winning opportunity for them. I once had a conversation with the founder of a company called Brightroll, which built a marketplace and platform for video ads on YouTube. He was originally working at YouTube and saw this opportunity to build a platform. But YouTube wasn't interested in doing it because they were busy working on their core system. So he, and I believe a partner, went out on their own and built it, and then sold it several years later to Yahoo for $640 million. I have heard many similar stories over the years in Silicon Valley and in other places as well. It's often a small part of what you're doing that winds up being the doorway to a new product or service or a new way of doing business that winds up being transformational. If you're not open to seeing and following a new thread of success, then you can't take advantage of it and you can't benefit from it. Follow your successes and keep your eye open for small aspects of your product or service that can wind up being big markets of their own. And make sure to stay in close contact with your customers along the way, as they will help you discover the narrow pathway to success. The sign to watch for. When you discover or create an opportunity that looks right, sounds right, feels right, and makes sense, it creates a click inside. When you get on the path to developing your potential winner, you will typically run up against challenges. When you have a winning opportunity, but it also becomes very hard, I believe that this is a sign from the universe. Whenever I'm in this situation, I remind myself that the increasing difficulty is an indicator that this is a much bigger opportunity than I thought. If I can see the opportunity and I believe that I've found something special and it's becoming very hard, this means that if I can figure it out, I will have a big lead over others who will be trying to pursue the same opportunity. When most people run into increasing resistance in life, they tend to give up. In sales, they say that you have to persist through multiple objections before someone will make a buying decision. Most people will not persist and will ultimately not make a sale. Dennis Waitley, in his spectacular audio program, The Psychology of Winning, says that winners develop the skill of manufacturing their own optimism. This is an important concept and one that can lead you to many creative ways of keeping yourself inspired, energized, and believing in yourself and your opportunity. There's a subtle difference between being persistent and attaching yourself to something that is a losing proposition in the long term. I'm not suggesting blind confidence, and I'm definitely not suggesting arrogance and hubris. If you're pursuing your opportunity and getting signals that your hypothesis is valid and things start to get much harder, remember that this is an indicator that you have a bigger opportunity than you originally thought. And if you can manufacture the optimism for yourself and others, so you stay in the game and do whatever it takes to bring it to fruition, your rewards can be much bigger than you originally anticipated. Stars only. As you learn to launch products and build businesses, you will see a common denominator in both successes and failures. It has to do with the teams of people who you work with on your projects. If you're working with a great team of people, not only are you more likely to be successful, but you're also more likely to learn a lot and have a lot more fun. Your collaboration partners and team members are like links in a chain. If you have a weak link, the entire chain is compromised. When you work with superstars, everything works better. And as we move into a business environment that is increasingly virtual, knowledge-based, and dynamic, the difference that working with superstars makes is multiplied. As you work with more design, engineering, marketing, and creative professionals, you also start to see that in these more mental domains, the difference between someone who is good and someone who is great is exaggerated. A great software developer is not just a little better than a good one, it can be 10x. A great visual designer can be 10x as talented as a good one. A great recruiter in your business can recruit people who are in another dimension compared to someone who is just okay. The world's authority on hiring superstar talent is Brad Smart, the author of the classic book Top Grading. I consider Top Grading to be a must-read book for all entrepreneurs, as he lays out a very detailed model and plan for recruiting and hiring what he calls A players. One of the big insights that you have as you begin recruiting and hiring people is that if you just play the numbers a bit, you can find much stronger talent to work with you. If you interview 10 people, one of them on average is going to be an A player. They will be much better than the others in the group, and it will often cost about the same amount to hire them. I have interviewed and hired a lot of people over the years in my various roles and businesses, and it always shocks me just how much better you can do by putting in some time and effort to interview a variety of different people for a role. It's usually a mistake to hire someone just because they are there and waste the opportunity to find someone who is truly great. Instead, run ads and go on a recruiting campaign. Ask friends, write your network, and reach out to people you've worked with before who might know someone that would be good for the role you need. If you run ads, be very detailed about what you're looking for. Make it clear that you're looking for someone who is great at what they do, who is talented and qualified, and who wants to learn and grow in their role. If you're a coach and looking to hire someone to design a website for you to attract more clients, say in your ad, "I am a coach, and I'm looking for someone to design an awesome website for me." You would ideally have several years of experience designing websites and have a portfolio that includes several coaches and consultants. "I need a website that attracts clients and convinces them to contact me to become clients." If you respond to this ad, please send me examples of websites that you have designed and tell me about the difference that the site made to the client's business. Assume that you're going to find a superstar and write your ad to that person directly. Remember, they're the only one that matters. Raise your standards and speak to what you want. As you get responses, look through them to see who read your entire ad and who took the time to give you a thoughtful, intelligent, qualified response. Many people will just attach a resume or paste a canned response, or will write something that shows clearly that they're either not qualified or not serious. This begins with a simple decision that you make internally yourself. It's the decision to work with stars only. This is about raising your standards before you even begin, so that your projects and businesses experience growing success in the long run. Other benefits of working with superstars: they raise the morale and esteem of the entire group. They inspire others on the team and you to perform at a higher level. They know other superstars and will refer them to work with you. You'll learn a lot more from them. They have lots of options and can easily move on if the project fails. We have already learned that you essentially become the average of those that you surround yourself with. This mindset goes doubly for the people that you work closely with. You will be interacting, communicating, collaborating, solving problems, and being influenced by the people you work with. If you want to become more of a superstar yourself, then take care to find and work with superstars in every place you can. It doesn't matter what the people on your team are doing either. A great attitude, collaborative nature, and high qualifications make such a huge difference. There are A players for every role in business and life, and you can find them if you go looking intentionally. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book, plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Opportunity iteration, scaling, and management. We live in an iterative world. Cars, software, and even bodies of entities come in iterations. The purpose of the first version of your product or idea isn't to get everything perfect. It's to test the viability of your idea as quickly as possible. If your first version produces promising results, then design and test a second version to get closer to an ideal design. If that works, then go for the real product in version 3.0. The key is to get to version 3.0 as quickly as possible. As a general rule, follow your winners and dedicate less energy to your losers, whether they be products, marketing, or investments. Sometimes you'll discover an opportunity that is also very challenging to implement or execute on. If you have evidence that you've discovered something that could be a big success, practice manufacturing your own optimism so you persist until you've realized the payoff. As you're building your team and your business, remember to recruit stars only. They inspire everyone around them, pull others up to higher levels of success, and help shape you into a stronger professional and success role model yourself. How could you design and implement a first version of your product or service 10 times faster than you were planning to originally? Where is something in your life or business working well and almost too easy? Could this be a bigger opportunity than you originally thought? What is the next role you need to recruit and hire for in your business where you could intentionally find a superstar?